Welcome to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass with Brett Henderson, founder of Strategic Wealth Endeavor. We've created a community of veteran entrepreneurs just like you who are ready to help you succeed. Our podcast provides expert advice and resources so you can overcome any obstacle in your way. With the help of Brett and veteran guest experts, you can build a battle-ready business mindset to take your company to the next level. Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. Now, on to the show.
Transitions occur throughout life, and they're not always smooth. Working with someone who understands the stresses and pitfalls can help ease the way. And Brett Henderson's guest is Dr. Denise Krushevsky, a clinical psychologist who's worked extensively with the military and specializes in life transitions, especially for high-driven individuals. Now, Dr. K has unique insight into stress and injury within demanding, fast-paced careers and lifestyles. And Brett, I expect you to tell us more.
Well, thanks, Patrice. Appreciate that. Denise, Dr. K. I'm going to call you Dr. K. I remember Dr. J, the basketball player when I was a kid in Pennsylvania, but I'll call you Dr. K. But you look a little different than Dr. J, so it's
just worth it. Touch.
Right? But I guess we don't have video for this. So, Patrice, I keep saying we need to have video, but we should have video. So that's something down the road. Maybe it's a teaser foreshadowing. But thanks for joining. I'm excited to have you here.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to be here.
Good. So here's my script of nothing that exists. We're going to just talk and have a real conversation. So everyone who's listening, ideally, is also a veteran and an entrepreneur. So everyone's here for nuggets. They're looking for ideas. They're looking for clarity. They're looking for something to help them grow their business, or maybe they're facing some sort of obstacle or challenge they want to get through. And so having a clear mind is a huge component of that. And so I was thinking several months ago when we first chatted and we were introduced by Brian, and I'll ask you momentarily how we're introduced and what we chat about and our group on LinkedIn, Marines Drinking Coffee Talking Business. And that's how you and I met, and kind of what you see out there for the mindset for these entrepreneurs, or if I feel some of our peers may have challenges and may not even know they have challenges. Right? Mm-hmm. How do you fix something when you don't know it's broken in the first place is a huge thing. So that's what I'm kind of thinking, maybe just the mindset, as most of our listeners are already in the business world. They're already running a business, or they're building a business, or they've had success. They've been out for 10, 20, 30 years in some cases, and they're running and gunning a business, but there may be some skeletons in the closet. And so I was thinking maybe chat about how we connected first off, and Brian, which is totally fine because I want to have Brian on the podcast, and then more what you're seeing or some things to look at for someone who is transitioning. And then once they've kind of transitioned, the healthy mindset that they could or should have, or any signals if something's not healthy or something could be impeding them. So if something could help someone be more efficient, more effective in their endeavors, that would be great. So that's what I'm kind of thinking as a rough outline. How does that sound? Is that?
That all sounds perfect. I mean, that's what I'm passionate about. That's what I focus on. Right. I'm happy to talk as much as you want about that.
All right. Well, let's just chat about how we kind of got connected, and Brian and the group, and our first conversation, and that'll kind of peel over to where we're going with entrepreneurs today.
So I will start with, in 2012, I went to the Marine Special Operations Command and was incredibly lucky to be selected as the first civilian to be embedded there to kind of help exactly with what we're talking about. How do you continue to perform at the highest levels when there's a lot of stressors and other things going on kind of in and outside of work? And so I was there at the same time as Brian Von Kraus, who is a Marine officer who was serving there at the time. We didn't get to talk very much at the time, but we were kind of in the same meetings and, you know, working with the same people. And I always like to make sure to say I'm a civilian. I've never served in the military. And I always like to know who I am and who I'm not. And that's, you know, so who I'm not is a veteran, but who I am is someone who is really lucky to have been able to learn and continue to learn a lot from people like Brian about how to do that, how to be so successful under those conditions. And so in 2017, at the very end of the year, I made the choice to leave MARSOC so that I could help even more people, people outside of that command, people who were transitioning. I kept getting all these phone calls from people on the other side of retirement or separation, kind of saying, we can't find you out here. So, you know, and I couldn't still help them. So I said, okay, this sounds like a need. So Brian actually contacted me before I even made that transition. He and I always joke about that. And he knew, he has his finger on the pulse. And we sat down and we had breakfast and he's like, okay, I'm glad you're coming out here. And here are some things I'm seeing and here are some things for you to notice. So from there, you know, ever since then, I've been in my own private practice out here in Oceanside, California, the Center for Stress Recovery and Resilience, and really been focusing and learning, you know, from these amazing people who are going through these transitions, the obstacles, the things that help them overcome those obstacles, and really continuing to hone my skills with that. So that's how, and actually I had breakfast again with Brian last week. I was just telling you, letting
sure
him know.
Gets lot of breakfast. I want some breakfast. Where's my breakfast here? Like, I feel left out. You're getting cheesecake. Patrice giving you cheesecake. Brian's giving you breakfast. I got nothing.
Hey, I'm a New Yorker. You got to speak to me through my stomach.
All right. I got some Twizzlers left over from camping. I can maybe share a couple of those, but actually I like Twizzlers, so I'm not going to share them. Sorry.
I'm a Raisinets kind of girl.
Isn't going to work. I got to end this right now. So.
Okay, good. But yeah, so that's, I can go on, but that's kind of how I met Brian and how you and I came together. Cause Brian knew what I'm doing. He knows what you're doing. And he thought we might be able to connect a bit on this work.
Awesome. So appreciate the little background and kind of update there where you are and what you're doing. And so what I would say for the listeners, what is or are a couple of the telltale signs that if I am running gunning now in the civilian world and building a business and have a business, or I've been there for a while, if there are some skeletons in the closet or some triggers or something, how can I sense or see, am I good or could I possibly work on some things internally and or externally? You know, because a lot of us don't want to share that we have any weaknesses, right? Because there are no weaknesses in the Marine Corps. Pain is only weakness with the body. But in reality, we are human beings and we have minds and they break and they bend. And so what would you say for an entrepreneur who's out there working hard? What are some things to look for, some signs where you should maybe I should take a step back and maybe chat with someone, and that could even make me more impactful, more effective in the future?
Yeah. So first I want to go back. You talk about skeletons in the closet. I think about, we all live in houses with rooms. We all live in houses with rooms. In the military, outside the military, we need to clean each of those rooms out periodically. We need to go in every room in our house and check it out just to make sure we know what's in there. And so I loved what you said in the beginning about noticing what we need. We can't notice if we don't go in those rooms. And so really making that a habit. And one thing I really do suggest, and I was more hesitant to do this in my earlier days, because I didn't want to seem like a therapist who thinks everyone needs therapy. But now I feel more confident in saying I'm a therapist who thinks everyone could benefit from meeting with a therapist. And here's what I'm seeing is, you know, I know what I know, you know what you know. Together, we put our heads, you know, together, and we can notice what's really there. So I have people that come to me all the time, and they were coming to me back at the battalion and now saying, am I good? Right. And I look at them and I say, are you good? You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you about you. But when we meet just a couple of times, of course, I have questions I ask. We have conversations and even pay attention to what it's like to have those conversations, you know, and in building in that awareness, like, what is it like for me to talk about my personal life right now? Am I feeling irritable? Am I feeling defensive? What is it like for me to talk about my past professional experiences or even past personal ones? You know, so that is the type of thing we can draw out. So that's why, and sometimes I've met with people and I say, you know what? See you whenever you want in the future. You don't need to see me now. And I'll tell them what to look for or what are some kind of things that have come up in our conversations and say, hey, if this increases or this decreases, come back and let me know. So that's the big answer I do want to give, is especially before you transition out of the Marine Corps or wherever you are, if you're transitioning, it's great to establish that relationship ahead of time. Sit down with somebody. I love working with people 8 to 12 months before they're going to transition. And they come out and see me and we get to know each other. Here's my office. Here's where you park. You know, we take away the mystery and we see how we're doing. And then when the transition happens, that's not a whole nother layer to peel off. You already know me and we could see how things are looking now. So, oh yeah.
Okay. No, that's good. But that's for guys and gals exiting now in the Marine Corps. What about a lot of us? Like, I got out in 2002. I've been out for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that. It was just weird.
And to
see pictures. And anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But for those of us who have been out for a long time, a lot of us where the military is a part of our past. It's not all who we are. It's who we once were, and we have the skills and we've moved on. It's still a part of us, but it's not who we are exclusively today.
Right.
So for those of us who maybe didn't, and I guess we've been at war for 20 years, right? So the system's changed last 20 years, and all of these symptoms are now being addressed, and you're not weak anymore. You're not, you know, it's okay to acknowledge something may be off. But for those of us who weren't in, or were in, when you didn't talk about stuff, or you maybe had an event which triggered something and you may not know, like, again, I've been out 20 years. And so you just said, hey, we should chat maybe 8 or 10 months before you get out. What about for those that have been out for a long time, that are already in business and are kind of like me or other veterans, where the military is a long way in the past? We've been in corporate America a long time. And maybe sometimes, oh, that's the Marine. He's labeled as this. This person's this. Mm-hmm. They're too rough. Or, you know, they get sometimes, I admit, I've been labeled just because I am a veteran. Oh, he's just that way. And he, so that they're all, we are different, right? We have different experiences than civilians. So you go with military background, you mix it in corporate America. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get your humor. A lot of times they don't. And it's still funny to me internally, but when I had managers, they didn't always like that externally. That's a whole nother conversation too. But that's, what about that? Are any signs or triggers? Yeah. First of all,
my favorite thing when a veteran calls me or anyone calls me and says on the phone, first of all, I don't believe in what you do. And I'm only calling you because Brett told me, you know, to call you. And I trust Brett and that's it. I'm like, wonderful. So finding the right person matters, you know, and I'm out there, other people are out there, but finding someone who's going to appreciate that kind of directness as a provider, you know, not all providers are equal. And so I encourage being honest and open about how you feel if you do approach a therapist that way. But going back to like, so what do you do? What are some signs and symptoms? Again, it may sound redundant, but entrepreneurs, especially veteran entrepreneurs, are some of my most favorite people to work with because of the exact things you're talking about. The mission set may have changed, but the mentality, the intensity, the passion, truly the, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears is still there. So for me, my favorite people to work with are doers. And I like to try to help doers take better care of themselves and shift their mindset from short-term to long-term. Because again, a lot of people have the short-term, I'll just got to get through this. And once this happens, then I can relax. Or once this happens, I'll take care of myself. So one thing I want to look at when I'm meeting with somebody is mindset. Do you have that recovery built in to your agenda? Do you have these things built in? So again, my answer is everybody should probably, especially veterans with certain experiences and who are still going intensely, it's probably not a bad idea to reach out to a clinician and have a couple of sessions, get to know them regardless. But when you do, then there are some assessments we do. So I look at things like stress reactivity. So when something unexpected happens, how do you meet that moment? Some people meet it with a lot of irritability. Some people meet it with some overreaction, some anger externally. Some people don't. Some people are able to help themselves recover within that. If you've had any trauma exposure, and at this point, especially 20 years out, what I find is that there's a, what I think of as kind of a mixed recovery that's happened. There are some things that have strengthened and things that you've learned and worked through, and that doesn't need to be addressed anymore. But then there's some other things. Maybe there's nightmares. Maybe there's memories that come up and that really affect you. Maybe you're still avoiding certain people, places, or activities, or you have a lot of rules involved in how you go about people, places, and activities. And maybe some of that's working very well for you, but maybe it's not. So again, I don't believe in kind of casting that, you know, broad strokes like, oh, PTSD just because of that. But let's really get nuanced. Let's look at, what are symptoms of PTSD? Do you have any of these going on right now? Or even just stress reduction? You know, how are you managing stress? Another big thing I look at is anxiety, because there's a lot of what I call optional urgency that drives my veteran entrepreneurs. Like, and again, entrepreneurship, as you know, it's a 24/7 thing if you let it be, right?
Of course.
You could, I mean, and maybe that's the way people go about it, but that's not longevity. That's not going to be a good long-term plan if you don't have a partner that you can meet with periodically and say, you know, again, that question, am I good? And we look at you and say, are you good? Let's see. Right. So I think especially, like I said, irritability, avoidance, sleep concerns, relationship disruptions. These are things that, guess what, come up for all of us, but especially if you do have, again, a history of trauma exposure or continued engagement in high tempo, you know, sort of work endeavors, make sure you're trained in how to slow down. That's not something that just comes to everybody. So that's the other thing. It doesn't only have to be about recovery from injury. It can also be about building in resilience. That is another important part of therapy.
These are all good things. And this, just for the audience's sake, you and I didn't have this plan. We're just having conversation. So as you're sitting here chatting, I'm thinking, I'm going through my own laundry list, which I should or shouldn't do it on a podcast, especially too. But I'll just throw, I'm going to be selfish for a second. It's my podcast, so I can be selfish. So I have the dream, and I think I shared this on an earlier podcast with Kenny Bass with Battle Buddy Foundation. And I am not a combat veteran. I did not go to combat. I got out in September of 2002, right before the Second Ground War, which is March of 2003. So 6 months before I got out. And I still have the dream, especially now with Facebook. I'm reconnecting with Marines that I was in with 20 plus years ago and seeing what they're doing. A lot of them are still in and some have stars on their shoulders now. And so I keep having the dream. When I was a tanker, I'm back on a tank. We got a mission. We got to go do it. But I'm forgetting something, like, or I'm late. I'm rusty. Or I don't have my helmet. I don't have a weapon, or I'm missing something, guys. I'm like, help me. Just give me a second. I'll pick it back up. I'm just a little rusty. It's been 20 years. Like, come on, sir. We got to go. I have that dream at least once or twice a week still now. Mm-hmm. Do you have any clue what that one means? Because it drives me nuts because I have it all the time.
Well, I want to say this. So I'm not great at dream interpretation, right? But I will tell you just some things that come up for me there, right?
Like, sure.
It even tags on to what I said about anxiety, right? There's a difference between trauma and anxiety. So one thing I do want to clarify, without getting too deep into your personal business, but you can share,
it's only a podcast. Let's throw it out there.
Whatever you want to. But so if that was an actual experience you had, or something similar to that, where you did not feel prepared and something bad happened, that would be perhaps an indication that there's an underprocessed experience that you've had. And what we can do with that in a therapy setting would be, there's very good evidence-based protocols. We can do an exposure-based therapy, or we can do an imaginal dream therapy. There are certain things we can do, right? But that's only if that's an actual trauma. And that's one way to go. But the other thing is, because I know what a driven person you are and how many things you have going and how important what you do is to you and to others. It could even be stress or anxiety. Anxiety is, it's my favorite adversary almost, because it's very cunning, right? It kind of has our best interest in mind. Like, it wants us to be prepared. It wants us to be on track. And yet it works against us because it runs our motor when we don't need it. It runs us hotter than we need to, and that doesn't serve us. So there are some treatments for anxiety itself that one could do in a training setting with me, which would be, you know, some of it are, I would want to understand more about other anxious symptoms. Like, again, worry about things in your waking life, right? Do you worry about things so much and then have trouble stopping worrying? Or again, that irritability symptom that's excessive for you, or this feeling of fear about something bad that's going to happen, again, in your waking life. These are some symptoms of anxiety, and, you know, that I would look at with people. And if that's the case, again, we have really great therapies for that, as well as really great mindfulness and self-compassion training that actually help calm the nervous system. So I actually, one of my experiences at the VA when I was there as a postdoc was in the mood and sleep clinic. So I learned a lot about sleep and dreams, and basically what happens in the daytime affects what happens at the nighttime. Mm-hmm. So sometimes a dream like that may be this motor running all day of worry or anxiety, and now it's coming out in the dream. So if we treat that in the daytime, we might have less of that in the nighttime.
Interesting. Anything could be. I mean, running the business and where you are, and just look at my own life, which I'm not going to go too deep into right now. But I will say, you touched on a couple of things, which I think that any listeners listening, hopefully it appeals to them or makes them think about it too. You talked about being able to vent or share with a partner or whatnot. And, you know, for me, It's interesting. You have friends. If you're talking business with your friends who are also peers, also veterans, there's one level. At the same time, if they're acquaintances, for me, I'm a verbal thinker and I've taken tests which share that, which is a blessing and a curse, especially a curse when I drink. That's a whole other thing, but that's East Coast Irish and it happens. It's actually quite charming, I think, as long as I think so. Right. But you chat with some people and you're chatting about business and some people get intimidated by that. And then because you're a doer, you're an entrepreneur, you're building something, it's all yours and you're responsible for all your successes, all your failures, every decision you make, every step you do. And some people just have a nice cushy job and that you can't relate and you can't bend to them. And so and they have a partner, your partner just wants to be your partner and they don't want to talk about work. Right. Mm-hmm. But your partners, you want to confide in about your day and you want feedback and you want their opinion. You want them to tell you, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Is this, do you concur? Do you not concur? Use them as a sounding board. And like, oh, you just talk about business all day long. Like that's what puts food on the table. That's what pays for the car. That's what pays for the house, pays for the travel, pays for this, pays for that. Like if I don't do the business, I've got nothing. Right. And so Don't hold that against me when that's what creates everything I have is my own personal effort. And I'm just trying to work through that. So Hearing you say some things like, I don't know if I'm being selfish, but again, it's my podcast. I'm just thinking about myself, my own situations, and you're triggering some thoughts. So yeah, they're probably your statement that everyone should probably chat with someone is probably a good statement, but I've always been independent figuring no one's going to do it for you, but you shut up, put your head down and go. And you'll figure it out or you'll fail. And I won't let myself fail. So that's kind of my mindset. It's probably the wrong one, but
You're speaking to two extremes. If I could jump in, cause you're saying so many important things and I really want to address them. So
please, sorry, I ramble.
And you're not alone. I know you're saying you're being selfish about yourself, but again, over the last 10 years, I'm very involved with many people who are, again, entrepreneurs, veteran entrepreneurs, a lot of people sharing what you're saying. So two extremes I'm hearing that I hear a lot is on one extreme, like I want my family to be completely involved, especially my partner. And I'm doing this for them and for us. Like it should matter. Like this is for us. Like this should be a good thing. And yet it's not. And we can get into that in a moment. The other extreme is I'm independent. I'm going to put my head down. I can't rely on anybody and I'll just get through. So do you see how when you're talking about one extreme there, then you kind of got a little about that. And you went into the independent, like full thing. So a lot of this that I help people with is the middle ground, right? The middle ground, what's in between that. And there is a lot of between that, which is you and the other person, right? And so that what I think you're getting at is vulnerability. And how can I be vulnerable with the right person, you know, with either my partner or with close friends or even business associates about business? And notice also what they need and what they're saying and kind of balance it out. So I really do work with people because unfortunately, many people I work with do this for their families. And then at the end of the day, do not have a family with them.
Right. Now you push people away. You can push people away. You're trying to do that for them. And I've done it. You know, so I've pushed people away and it's hard when you, in your mind, you're trying to do what you think is best to build something. And if it doesn't work that way and they don't see it that way, you can't just run over like a bulldozer. And the same assessment that told me I'm a verbal thinker also told me I could be bulldozer at times too. That's a,
cause you're passionate, thing. You know, and you're like, let's get in there. Right.
Right.
But then you maybe some hurt that comes up when someone else doesn't want to get in there, you know, with you. The other thing I'm going to bring up.
Sure.
That I don't like to bring up too soon, but you're kind of bringing us there, is the utility of couples therapy. So another thing I encourage people to do is after they've started doing their own work, like one-on-one with a provider who can be a facilitator. So again, in your case, like what you're sharing and what others have shared, we want to find the middle ground, but that's again, not going to be something you can do on your own because you're in your own mentality, right? Like you can only see where you're looking. So when my role as a provider is to come alongside you, look where you're looking, but also be looking at you and give you the perspective that I'm having and work on the skills that might help you there. So after you start doing that and you're really starting to get a sense of what matters to me, what do I want with my partner? What do I want to give to them? What do I want to hear from them? What do they need? Then maybe a couple of sessions with a couples therapist, which again, sometimes people run for the hills like, if we need that, then we shouldn't be together. Or I don't want to just be told I'm wrong. They're not going to understand me. They're just going to understand her. And then I'm just, you know, that's going to piss me off. So I say, choose wisely. Don't choose somebody who pisses you off, right? Like if you meet with a clinician who does not seem to get you, do not continue to meet with that person.
That makes sense.
But then if you meet with a clinician who actually can kind of get both of it, they may be able to open up those lines of communication so you can both get what you need. You can find that middle ground together. And this is a really important thing. I've seen this be able to happen for people, but not on your own. Because again, you're both in your own perspective. So that's my other response to what you're sharing. A little bit of couples counseling can sometimes go a long way.
Right. So what I'm, the two words that are echoing and screaming right now in my mind are this. Number one, vulnerability. Be vulnerable, but it has to be the right person. I can tell you I chose the wrong person once and it's still costing me. And the other is empathy. It's empathy and being able to understand someone else's perspective. You don't have to agree with it, but understand where they're coming from and how they feel and maybe why they feel that way. Again, not having to agree, it's the right feeling or wrong feeling, is acknowledging their feeling is huge. So again, the one thing, as you were just sharing, speaking, again, vulnerability, screaming, being vulnerable, and having empathy, which a lot of us need training on. And I have had training. I'm not the most empathetic guy, humbly speaking, probably worst thing to say on a podcast when you work with others, but hey, so be it. And that's reality though. And I think a lot of venture entrepreneurs are the same way. So what are your thoughts to those two words?
Yeah. First of all, absolutely vulnerability, but wise vulnerability. I really want to emphasize that. Some people are vulnerable with the wrong people, the wrong times, they get burned and then they're like never again.
Yep.
So wise vulnerability. I love that you're highlighting that. The second thing, instead of empathy, I would say it's close cousin, which is compassion. So compassion, I think of, has to do with awareness and acceptance. And we'll talk about that for a moment, if that's okay.
Sure.
Empathy is being able to feel what another person is feeling. And that can lead us awry for a number of reasons, which again, I could do a whole podcast on that. This is what I teach all the time. But you don't have to, nor can we, feel what another person is feeling. And so empathy can kind of lead us on a wild goose chase, which is not helpful. Compassion is the skill of actually caring for someone else's experience and accepting it as it is. Like if we don't have to get it, if we don't have to empathize, we can accept, hey, like that's your experience. And again, that's where the whole, what you were saying, I don't have to like it. I don't have to agree with it. That's fine. I can accept that that's you. And I can even give you some compassion for like, hey, that must be hard as you. Like I can hear what you're saying and that's hard. The other thing that has to happen before that is self-compassion. Because what I see, again, a lot of people like yourself, and I don't know if this is you or not, but are very externally focused. Like, you know, I'm going to help others. And actually, I do know this a little bit about you. Our first conversation we had on the phone, your whole mission is about other people. You know, you want to save people. You want to help people. You want to help them be successful and you want to help them be alive. I mean, this is what you're doing, right? But in order to do that and to do a longevity with that, to keep doing it, we can't offer to others what we don't offer to ourselves. And I've learned this, you know, you're sharing. I have an autistic son. I think I told you about this in our conversation. And personally, I had to butt up against that and say, I can't do this without giving compassion to myself. I had to learn the skills for myself, truly, to then be able to teach them to other people. So that's what I've been doing for at least the past, really, it's been the secret sauce for me the past like 5 or 6 years. Every client I meet with, first we build self-compassion, then we build other compassion.
Oh, that's huge. This is a lot in a podcast, right? And yeah, this is sorry. A lot. In a good way. This is good. Hopefully I'm sitting here having self-reflection. I hope everyone listening is as well, just where they are. And you're saying you have to master, or you should learn and then ultimately master self-compassion. Then you can have that with others. Okay. No, great. how, right? So then it's the skill set. So I'm sure you're going to say book session with you, but realistically, what would you say for someone listening? How would they, number one, start with an assessment to see even where they are on the, is there a compassion scale, so to speak?
Yes, there is.
Mine's a -5, I'm sure. But but then, okay, so now I know what my score is. Then how, like, what's, I guess I'm going to ask you for a nugget, so to speak, here at the end. Like, how would you help someone who wants to say, yeah, maybe I should go through this. Maybe I should understand where my compassion level is for myself before I can help others. And then here it is. And then how would I set you, like, is it a year training program or a year self-assessment? I should do this, or in a week and do this every day. Because I know if you want to create a new habit, they say do something 23 times, but realistically it's just making micro changes. What micro change can I make today that'll make me better tomorrow? And then do that again, do it again, do it again. So what would you say would be the process, so to speak, or SOP for learning self-compassion 101, if that's even possible?
It's very possible. It's what I do all the time. And there's lots of ways to go about it. I think about three P's for today, which is pause, presence, and passion. So practice pausing, just stopping for a few seconds. And then the presence of right now, like, what is my body feeling? What am I feeling emotionally? What is my mind like right now? And it's without judgment, presence without judgment, like that acceptance piece. And then the passion, like, what matters to me? What really matters to me right now? Because the anxiety is going to tell you, I have to be successful. I have to earn money. I have to get this done. I have this to-do list. And those things may have to happen. And I'm not saying they don't. But what matters to you about that is because I want security. I want peace. I want to be able to relax. But if you're in that anxiety mode without pausing and presence, are you relaxing, right? So that pause, presence, and passion are some things that I have come up with just to kind of be able to convey that. So you could do that right now. I mean, right in this exact moment. So that's free and that's, you know, available. I will say, I do want to make sure, again, where I come from on this is I did go through months and months of training formally in a protocol called Mindful Self-Compassion that was developed by two psychologists who are amazing, Kristen Neff and Christopher Germer. So I want to make sure I say that I didn't invent this, but they have a protocol that they've developed for everybody. It's actually not a therapy. It's, again, a training. So I went through that training intensively, and I do offer this in different iterations. So, you know, I can do, and I do, you know, one session kind of teachings on it. It's an 8-session weekly protocol. I can do that for people. And I will say, there's also a lot of free resources they put out there. So anyone who wants more information from me, I'm happy. There's a website they have. There's a book you can buy. There's lots of ways in. But I do think if you really want to learn it, it can be helpful to have a facilitator. And like I said, it's not years and years with a facilitator. And one of the big things that I really believe in is that I am meant to be a short-term facilitator with people. I want to grow autonomy. I want to train people to then do the work themselves and then just come back to me, you know, as needed. So if you're an entrepreneur and you have any colleagues, or if you have employees, or if you have contracts, self-compassion training would be important because then you also have stress and you have other people you're dealing with. So I think that it's a very important skill set, and one that I hope people find a way into, that I'm happy to give information on in lots of ways.
Awesome. Well, I think that's great. I think you and I could keep chatting for another hour or two, but that probably Patrice would slap me on the wrist and say, Brett, stop.
No. Okay. Part two here, my dear.
That's what I was going to go to next. See, she's way ahead of me. In the meantime, though, I think this has been awesome and we probably should stop there. But for those who are listening who do want to reach out to you and do have questions, now I'm stealing Patrice's thunder, but that's okay. How would someone reach you? What's your website and or email? Is there a direct line?
Sure. So my website is stressandresilience.org. So that's stressandresilience.org. It's all one word. And, or you can email me at drk@stressandresilience.org. So those are the two best ways to reach me. You can also call me, but I never pick up because I'm always in session or trainings. So the email or the website are the better ways to reach me.
Awesome. And just so you know, I wanted to say thanks for joining. And I'm realizing as I build up the podcast, I don't have any female guest-centric thank you presents, so to speak. It's more, let me ask, do you shoot or no?
I don't.
Don't worry, then you don't want my present. So I will chat with Giselle and we will continue to evolve and grow and acknowledge that a weakness I have is not having a appropriate thank you guest for a female guest. Aww. So another weakness I have, it's just added to the list, which is okay. That's the best kind of humor. That's the best kind of humor. I mean, you can't make fun of anyone else's side anymore. You go to jail. So at least I can make fun of myself now, right? That's all I can do.
Oh, you true.
You can't say anything to anyone anymore. Like anyway, so at least I make fun of myself and just, that's life. Patrice, what I miss? You're in charge.
Oh, I'm suggesting maybe Tiffany or See's Candy.
Okay. Wait, maybe you're not in charge anymore. Let me take a step back. What happened to cheesecake? Or raisinettes?
I know. I was going to say, Tiffany, I'm surprised you didn't say bagels from New York or...
Well, come Tiffany's on. Is in New York, right?
Look me up.
How old's your son, Denise, before we wrap up? How old's your son?
Well, my autistic son is 9 and my other son is 7. Yeah.
Okay.
So they don't shoot yet either.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing,
especially in society today. That's a good thing.
Yes.
My little guy's 5. He just started kindergarten today. And he's on the spectrum too. So one of the things fear I've had, he's been in pre-K and in all sorts of therapies and he has an IEP and he's been through the what is the center in California we have?
Like the regional center?
The regional center. Yes. Mm-hmm. He's been in the regional centers too. But like, I'm afraid, like we're out and he still flaps his arms a little bit and he gets excited and jumps and he just runs a little odd. And I'm just so fearful as a parent that little kids are going to be mean to him or make fun of him. And you know, like I didn't realize I was goofy and had some goofy tendencies till older. I'm like, why didn't you guys tell me that? Well, this is how you are. I'm like, well, I can change some goofiness if you let me know I'm goofy. Like I'm not self-aware of my goofiness. Right. So yeah, one of those anxieties I have, he's in kindergarten, he's happy. Yeah. I love him, mm-hmm. but I'm just, as a parent, I'm afraid, you know, I just, so but that if you got your autistic son, you definitely understand.
Oh, and then everything you're saying. And with fun fact, Kristen Neff, one of the psychologists who, again, developed this protocol, her son is autistic too. And that is actually a big driver for her of why she did this. So I say this truly, it is a tough road. It is not something I say just as a nugget. It is something truly I began this training for myself because I found, you know, you think you can worry about work 24/7. Well, having an autistic child, you can worry about 28/15, you know. My son started fourth grade last week and it's already challenging. And so there's lots of things that go on, lots of things I've learned. But the biggest thing, and I really have learned, is gosh, I've got to find ways to take care of myself so that I can advocate for him. Because as a parent, it's a lot of advocacy. It's mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, I'm basically his care manager across the board with all the different, you know, things and school and outside of school. So I like truly this, it's a passion of mine also to help caregivers of autistic children, because I do know from the inside what's helped me so far, what's been tough. And it's an area of extreme passion. And the good news is, again, these skills have helped me, because I have many stories, believe me, the Costco story of him on the floor, having a tough time, and the stranger walking by going, what's wrong with that kid? And me having to stop my husband from going to let him know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots and lots of things, but it does, I think if we choose to learn how to help ourselves with it, it can get a bit easier. But I'm happy to talk with you even just, you know, as a parent offline about any strategies, things we've learned, you know, whatever, but it is an ongoing process. And he is my greatest teacher and my greatest inspiration, because if I want to have any ease in life, I will have to figure out internally how to have that, because it's going to be a road. It's a road with him.
It is. And same thing with my son, but he's a happy little dude.
Mine too.
He's
yeah.
awesome.
Always.
He's so cool.
Old in a china shop.
Yeah, mine's not that. He's just awesome. He's just awesome. We could pontificate about that. But I will say one thing there before Patrice... take charge again in the podcast, Patrice. Sorry. I will say, for those who are listening, veteran entrepreneurs, especially Marines, as a parent, you may not be with the mom and you work on custody. That's a whole nother conversation. I've had that battle already. Mm-hmm. Something which was really damaging, which I'm sure I'm not alone, but I'll throw out there, is when non-military spouses, or maybe they were military spouses, but my son's mother is not a veteran, and used, when we're going through custody and all that stuff, use the fact I was a veteran. I'm not even a combat veteran. Oh, he has PTSD. He's a Marine. He's going to be dangerous to his son. You should only see him in a supervised care facility. Like, I'm actually having flashbacks right now of going through custody and being labeled just because you are a veteran, and they use it against you as a weapon. I think it should almost be criminally, I don't know the word I'm looking for right now, but if someone's going to use that against you, use being a veteran against you to try and take your child away from you just through accusations with no basis whatsoever, I think the repercussions should be criminal. That's what I think. It should be wrong to do that to any veteran. But you just triggered something I was thinking about in the past there. So we all have our challenges. So yes. On that note, I'm glad you and I had the conversation. I think there definitely will be number two here. And so we'll talk about that. But Patrice, take it away.
Well, I'm thinking parts 2, 3, 4, 5, lots of notes here. I think it was a fantastic discussion. The both of you are fantastic. And Brett, you gave Denise the chance to tell us how to reach her. How can people reach you?
I don't know if I was going to after this podcast today, but like, that dude's nuts. But emails brett@swe90.com. That's short for Strategic Wealth Endeavor. Website's swe90.com. And then I will give you my phone number, and Giselle answers my phone, so that's great most of the time. 310-491-7045. Again, 310-491-7045. Brett with Strategic Wealth Endeavor.
Fantastic stuff, folks. So all you listeners, follow, subscribe to this podcast that you are going to know when the latest episode is ready for you. And of course, share with friends and colleagues. I'm Patrice Sikora, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass podcast. Don't forget to click the follow button to become notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice offered through IFP Investors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, a registered investment advisor. IFP and Strategic Wealth Endeavor INC are not affiliated. The views expressed are that of the host and are for informational purposes only, and in no event should be construed as an offer to buy or sell securities. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not take into account the particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs of individual investors. Neither IFP Investors LLC, IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, nor their affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. The information given herein is taken from sources that IFP Advisors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners,